Before I begin, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this chance we have to look into your word. We pray that you'll open it to our understanding and that you'll bless us for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Elders are often asked once in a while to stand in for the pastor. And as an elder, they tell you that it's a good thing if you have something on your mind to share, because who knows, the pastor might get sick before he gets to church, and somebody's going to have something to say. So I thought about that for a while, and it occurred to me. First of all, in your bulletin, there's a worksheet. Take that out and fill it out when we get to it and save it. You'll need it. Okay. One of the things that occurs to me is that we as a church, because we're a Bible-believing, Scripture-teaching church, are under attack from Satan. Satan doesn't like that, and he tries to distance it from God's word. And as elders, we try to come up with opportunities for people to grow. So we have Bible studies in the morning, Bible studies at night, Bible studies during the day for both for women, and then we have prayer meetings and evening Sunday service besides the traditional morning service. By and large, attendance is so-so. And it's Satan is just keeping people away because they have lots of good things to do. An income to make, a family to support, just a lot of things that are good, but maybe they don't put God first. So we need to, and we as individuals are also attacked by Satan. As Christians, that just comes with the territory. Satan does want to keep us away from God, away from his word, and keep us ineffective if he can. So we're under constant attack. So what do we do about that? What can we do about it? Well, Paul in Ephesians tells us we put on armor. Yep. And it's more than a Halloween costume. And that's a facsimile of armor there. But we need to put on spiritual armor. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. I'm reading to you from the Revised King James. Some might not sound exactly like yours, but you'll get the idea. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul's telling this to the Christians because they're new, and he wants them to realize that they're in a spiritual battle now. they've accepted Christ, and Satan just doesn't like that. And he's going to be at them all the time. He's not too worried about the unsaved. He's already got them. He doesn't need to fight them. They're already doing what he wants them to do. But he does need to tackle Christians, and he does. So Paul tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, strong because Satan is powerful. In 1 Peter 5:8, we see, be sober, of sober spirit, and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's out there. He's busy. Michael, the archangel, when he disputed the devil over Moses' body, he did not dare pronounce against Satan a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you, in Jude 9. So Michael didn't even want to take him on one-on-one. He used the power play. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He used the name of the Lord. Satan is powerful. He can transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Years ago, there used to be a comedian named Flip Wilson, and his favorite line was, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil doesn't make us do anything, but he sure can tempt us. And the thought of Satan being an angel of light, it's not how we see Satan, is it? We see Satan as, we see him as a cartoon character with horns and a little red suit, fork and tail, and a pitchfork. But that's not who Satan really is. The other night we were watching Pilgrim's Progress, and Pilgrim was on his way to heaven, and Satan was bothering him, and Satan was flying around like a bat with big teeth, you know, and he was... Well, Satan's not always like that. Satan can be very attractive. In the power of God's might, we need to get that power for our strength, because in 1 Corinthians 10:12, we see, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. God is a great reservoir of strength, and we need to tap it and be in him, as Paul is instructed, where all the fullness of God dwells, in 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is with the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness to dwell in him. So we need to tap Jesus' attributes, his strength, and take hold of that power for ourselves through the Holy Spirit and make practical use of it as we think about putting on the armor. Ultimately, Satan's power over Christians has been broken, and a great war is won through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, which forever conquered the power of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:56-57 says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives victory through Jesus Christ. So, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on conveys the idea of something you need to get on every day. You get up, you put your clothes on. Well, as you get up, you're starting to think about the things that are going to happen during the course of the day. What you really need to do is spiritually, psychologically, you need to put on the armor of God. You need to ask him to protect you. Well, okay, we'll talk about the details of what the armor of God is, but we need to put it on daily, because we wrestle, we are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, And we need to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called, and you have made good confession in the presence of many witnesses." We need to be strong to use the armor. We need it for protection because we are under constant attack. We need the strength to stand. To stand in the fiery trials that Satan gives us. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials or ordeals among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you." I'm sure that you're all familiar with sporting professional teams now as they play the national anthem. Some people kneel. They've got some things they're concerned about they want to draw attention to. Recently, the San Francisco Giants started their baseball season, and that was one of the first things they all did, except for one man. They all knelt as the national anthem was played. Of course, they were demonstrating that they thought Black Lives Matter. Well, the one person that stood did not kneel. He had an opportunity to testify because people asked him, "Well, what's your thing? How come you're not kneeling like the rest of the team?" He says, "I'm a Christian. I only bow to God. I don't bow to other things. And all lives matter. So stand." Need strength to stand. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us. James 4:7 says, "Submit you therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Yep, I got it. Okay. We need the whole armor of God, and it requires an understanding and an application of the truth of the gospel. If you don't understand the gospel in the first place, Satan's got an edge on you, and you need to understand the gospel. That Christ died for us on the cross, died for our sins, he took that burden, and if we are faithful, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we repent and accept it. We need to know that and understand that, and then we need to read and study the Scripture and stay strong then in the Lord, because we are up against the wiles of the devil. Well, that's not a term we use very often, the wiles of the devil. What's Paul talking about there? Well, the devil is clever, crafty, cunning, and deceptive. He has schemes. So it's kind of an all-inclusive term for every sin, immoral practice, false teaching, false religion, and worldly practices. So 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us, "So there is no advantage that would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." Well, our culture right now is really good at making deviant lifestyles seem normal. And if you watch TV, even on the advertisements now, you'll see men kissing men or women kissing women, you know, and they're trying to make that deviant lifestyle seem normal. And it's written into plays. If you watch the public TV station and have master theater there, and you know, it's supposedly quality TV, they've written that right into the scripts. And so you got to be careful of Satan's schemes. He's out there attacking our mindset all the time. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You've probably shared with people that say, well, I don't believe in God. I can't see Him. I can't touch Him. Well, we can't see or touch Satan either. But he's there. And he's out there. 1 Corinthians 10, 2-4 says, I ask that when I am present, I need not to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be in courageous against some, but who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful against destructions of fortresses. We war against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Kind of the idea is that four strata of Satan's evil empire. Therefore, verse 13, back in Ephesians 6:10-18, verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. So we put it on in a practical sense. And Paul is referring to the Roman army, and he uses the Roman soldier as a typical example. So as the soldier gets ready to go to battle, he's got his breastplate on, and he's girded his loins, and he's got his feet shod. But when he actually gets into the battle, he needs his shield, his helmet, and his sword when the fighting begins. Right now, the state of California is covered with forest fires. And as you look at TV and as you've seen fire crews pass through town, you see them with the yellow shirt and the green pants. Yellow shirt and green pants are made of Nomex, which is a fire retardant material. Doesn't burn readily. And they have boots on. So those things are going to have as they're assigned to a fire. But before they go on the fire line, they're going to put a hard hat on. And they're going to put around their waist a belt. The belt holds a fire shield or a fire, little fire tent-like thing. And you deploy that if the fire is actually going to burn over you. And it's designed to resist sparks and embers to a certain temperature. It's not by any means totally foolproof, but it does help. You wouldn't go out on the fire line without that. You wouldn't go out there without a tool. Shovel, axe, McLeod, Pulaski, something like that. Well, it's an armor. Stand firm, therefore. That's the third time Paul mentions it. Take a firm position in the battlefield against Satan and his forces. Gird your loins with truth. If you're filling in the blanks, that's the first one. Gird your loins with truth. Paul's quoting an Old Testament scripture here, Isaiah 11:5. Now, the Roman soldier sometimes had kind of a tunic over his armor, and it would be looser. So he would put a belt around there to kind of hold it tight so it didn't get in his way when he was swinging his sword. Well, the belt then pulls, when we think of a belt in a spiritual sense, it pulls all the spiritual loose ends, and that is truth. The truth of the Word of God. Truth versus Satan's lies. Satan being the father of lies in James 8:44. In the men's recent Bible study, we studied the lies men believe by Wordsworth. And we studied lies like, there are many ways to God. Oh, my sin doesn't really matter. and many others. Well, Satan is good at sharing those kind of things with us and making us kind of all right with his presence. The idea is, as we're entering battle, is to be sincere, committed to fight, win with self-discipline. And everything that hinders is tucked away, so don't let the affairs of life get in your way. 1 Timothy 2:4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Well, the affairs of everyday life can be good affairs, like working, taking care of a family. But have we put God first? Have we put the truth of His Word first? Did we start off by girding our loins for the day? Put on a breastplate of righteousness. Again, Paul is quoting Isaiah 59:17. In Paul's time, then, the breastplate was leather, and it had bits of horn or hoof, animal horn, or maybe little strips of metal sewn into it. And it was then to protect the heart and the vital organs. As you see deputies, the CHP, or if you're watching TV and you see the riot police, you see that they have kind of inflated, fluffy sort of shirt. Inside, they've got a flak vest. And it's probably made of something like Kevlar that repels most things, most bullets, knives, broken bottles, rocks, those kind of things. So we still use those kind of things, again, to protect the heart and the vital organs. Righteousness is a characteristic of God. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on a new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we need to put on righteousness before the day begins, so that we can be holy as God is holy during the course of the day. And faithful communion with Christ, who shares His righteousness, produces in us the practical daily righteousness that becomes our spiritual breastplate. We get to work. Right off the bat, somebody seems like they need to get your attention and tease you a little bit, so they tell you a dirty joke. Do you laugh? Well, it's a natural response. But is it the thing that God would have you to do if you're trying to lead your daily life as righteous and holy as He is righteous? Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, Paul is quoting Isaiah 52:7. What does it mean to shod your feet? Well, to cover your feet with a good firm base. I don't know if that looks like a good Roman boot, but that's the idea. And, you know, it's got hobnails on the bottom for traction. Well, we understand traction. Yeah. We think of it as Vibram soles. And, yeah, it says Vibram on there, that little yellow spot. Good stuff. That's what we put on our boots. Gives us traction. Helps us to stand firm. Well, what is the gospel of peace? Stand firm with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man has been an enemy of God from the start, but God reconciles man through Himself, through the gospel, the good news. It is that confidence of divine support which allows the believer to stand firm, knowing that since he is at peace with God, God is his strength. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But if these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. Peace of mind. You know, that's really what people want. Peace of mind. They want to be able to go to sleep at night. And when they don't have peace of mind, they can't do that. But God gives you that. Paul tells us to use it. Use it if we put on the armor. Okay, when we go right into battle, grab that shield. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A shield back then was fairly small, had a wood background and a leather face. Now you see shields, if you've been watching the riots lately, the shields that the riot police have are full length. Well, shield for the protection of the entire body by trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your might, with all your power. I can't read my own writing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. Knowing that the same experience of suffering is being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. The believer's continual trust in God's word and promise is above all, is absolutely necessary to protect them from the temptation of every sort of sin, which are Satan's fiery darts. So the Roman soldier had flaming arrows shot at him. So how did they handle that? Well, they soaked their shields, the leather, in water. So when the fiery arrows hit it, it went out. Well, Satan shoots fiery darts at us. What constitutes Satan's fiery darts? Temptation. He doesn't make us sin. Flip Wilson was wrong. The devil didn't make him do it. Satan doesn't make us do anything. But he tempts us. And he makes it look really good. You know, he's good at that. And it looks really enticing. He knows our weakness. He knows what to tempt us with. He's been watching. So he doesn't force us to sin. He tempts us with something. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm sure you anticipate this. No temptation is overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with temptation will provide the way out of escape, also so that you will be able to endure it. Faith, then, is like a muscle. The more you put it into practice, the stronger it gets. So memorize Scripture, particularly if you know what your weakness is. You know Satan is going to attack you with that. Memorize Scripture to refute it, so it'll come to mind when he's actively after you. Take the helmet of salvation. A Roman helmet was leather and sometimes metal. And Paul is really speaking to the saved, and he's concerned about Satan's seeking to destroy a believer's assurance of salvation with his weapons of doubt and discouragement. But the believer has the helmet of the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's not a maybe, it's a promise. The hope of salvation. We can be strong in God's promises of eternal salvation in Scripture. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." The helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. I'm going way too fast. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is the soldier's only weapon. So God's Word is the only needed weapon, more powerful than any of Satan's. Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." As Andy read, Jesus is tempted by Satan. And Satan takes Jesus to three different situations and tempts him, tells him the world is his, and if he's hungry, he can be fed, and he doesn't need to worry about falling off the pinnacle in the temple in Jerusalem because the angels will protect him. And Jesus tells Satan, it's not good to tempt the Lord. Well, Jesus calls Scripture to mind, and that's what we need to do when we know Satan is going to tempt us. We're gone someplace, we're visiting somebody, and we know we're going to have some challenges. Then we need to follow Jesus' example and have that Scripture memorized. Then he says, pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray frequently in the Spirit who makes intercession for us, according to the will of God. Romans 8:27. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Therefore, he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So be watchful and preserve yourself in your prayer life, and pray for others as well as yourself. So take the little diagram, which looks like that, on the back of your insert to the bulletin. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your medicine cabinet. Put it on your bulletin board with your other prayer requests, or put it on your end table. Put it somewhere that you'll remember to put on the armor of God daily, because you're going to need it. You can get to work and realize, oh, I forgot today, as everything starts to fall apart on you. Paul tells us as Christians that we're in a spiritual battle. So put on the spiritual armor. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the practical tools you give us through Paul on how we are to protect ourselves from Satan. He is active, he is there, and he just would love nothing more than to separate us from you. And we pray that we would remember to put on the armor of God daily.